Welcome to another thrill-packed edition of Unite, i.e. Radio, the radio show for the most important political office, that of the private citizen. My name is Greg Britton with the Redlands Tea Party Patriots and the Unite IE Coalition of Conservative and Patriot Groups, where our mission is to unite freedom-loving, America-loving Americans and magnify our strength and effectiveness in keeping America great, free, and prosperous. And people say every election year, this is the most important election in American history. Well, I think this one is. If the Democrats get in and Biden or some other Democrat avatar is installed as president in January 25, then the border will remain open for another 4 years and another 10 to 20 million illegals. And now they're not even bothering with the border. We've learned recently that the regime is now flying illegals in, and already more than 300,000, so they don't even have to walk and get their feet wet or get their feet dirty crossing the border. They get flown in, and I don't know if it's first business class or if it's merely coach, but they're getting flown in, and those numbers don't count on the numbers that are crossing the border. You have a parole program, 1 million so far. And again, those are people that are let in through ports of entry and don't count against the number of illegals that are crossing the border. So if all that's going to continue for an additional 4 years and another 10 to 20 million illegals, if the Democrats also control the House and Senate, then they will amnesty in 30 to 40 million illegals and new Democrat voters, and the Democrat Party will have achieved its goal of creating a one-party socialist or fascist state. And those are the stakes. To help us sort through this, we welcome back to the show Mark Ang, an all-around dedicated activist. And I see him on social media, going everywhere, doing everything, meeting all sorts of great people. I'm somewhat envious of all of his contacts, but very appreciative of his work, because he's one of the people that really exemplify the motto of this show, and the most important political office is that of the private citizen. So welcome to the show, Mark.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Well, we just had an election. I mean, I guess it's still underway. So, you know, we have a month of voting and then a month of, quote unquote, counting the votes. So it's really kind of an election season, not an election day in the traditional sense. Well, I think we have a rough idea of what the outcome of this California primary is. Let's start there. What is your take on the results?
Yeah, thanks, Greg. I have a lot of thoughts about this, actually. First of all, I'm still very annoyed that after Election Day, they got three more business days to receive ballots, which is ripe for fraud, and especially in close elections, can easily be manipulated when they see who hasn't returned their ballots, and then they can overcome gaps to get their candidates across. So that's very interesting. But let's hypothetically say that everything was honest. Let's analyze the results. The fact that Katie Porter did not get through the top two primary, I think, is a very interesting development. She, after all, was a hero of the this is for the Senate race, obviously, California Senate, which I don't believe we really have a shot in. But Steve Garvey, the Republican candidate who is a former baseball star, has actually the best chance of making this competitive. And even if it
I'll let you continue, but let me stop there. And we'll come back to this point. I think Garvey could win. I don't think he will win. I don't think he has he's fast enough and flexible enough intellectually to do what's necessary to win. But let's come back to that and how that might happen. But continue with your election analysis.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll hone in more on, actually, I do believe there is an outside chance. I've even told people it's not a 0% chance. It's of maybe a 5%. So I'm slightly optimistic about that race. However, other results, you know, very interesting. There was a time, I think about 8 years ago, during certain previous cycles, including midterm ones, where two Democrats would get in the top two primary, shutting any Republican out. That's actually not happening this time around. And interesting, Adam Schiff used that strategy to really promote Steve Garvey because he wanted to face off with a Republican challenger. But I say, be careful what you wish for, because we're actually getting to a point now where, first of all, I read the statistic that there's a net 200,000 person increase in registration for Republicans in California. And the Democrats have actually lost registrations for the first time. So either the Democrats are getting lazy, or as I've been seeing on the ground, as you know, Greg, as you mentioned, I deal with a lot of people. A lot of my Hispanic Democrat friends are actually not happy with Biden and starting to question the Democratic Party. We're seeing the trend across the board in a lot of Super Tuesday races, as well as in polling. You're starting to see a lot of Hispanic and Black voters that are switching to Republicans, to the point that there's articles written where people are worried because nationally, Trump has 17% support in certain polls from Black voters, which it used to hover in the high single digits. That's almost a doubling of his support. So this is the type of thing that, you know, Biden can point fingers all he wants. The Democrats can do this witch hunt on Trump. But at the end of the day, the people are not getting behind this unnecessary vilification of Trump and the Republicans. So that's what I'm seeing across the board. And in California, that's even showing up in some of these races. For example, in our Orange County race that we, Katie Porter's seat, Republicans actually outnumbered Democrats in that top two jungle primary, which is huge, which means we have a great chance of winning that and picking up seats this cycle on a presidential year, believe it or not, in California. So I'm super excited overall, Greg.
Yeah, another one, it looks like Prop 1, the $6.38 billion for the homeless industrial complex. It's been very close, and that's remarkable because all the money was for this, and it was more money for the political cronies. It's not going to help the problem. It would cost more than $500,000 per basically a hotel room for homeless people to build these things. But it was really close earlier this week, almost a statistical tie. And as of Thursday morning, I checked again, and it was leading 50.2% to 49.8%. But it'll probably pass. But that almost half of California voters were able to discern that this was a big waste of money and a payoff to the political the cronies of Gavin Newsom. It is a somewhat
encouraging. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up, Greg.
Go ahead.
Let me jump in on this. Prop 1, the fact that, like you said, almost half the people rejected it shows that a lot of Democrats are even auditing their own party. We saw this with the shutdown of a lot of bonds in previous cycles, where Democrat areas are starting to reject more money being thrown into causes, taxpayer money going into causes that ultimately they know is just due to California mismanagement, not to actually help the causes they espouse to help. So I'm super excited to see that. And that's kind of a growing trend as people now start to register Republican versus just being Democrats and then voting reflexively and then shooting down propositions that make no sense. So Prop 1 still, I agree with you, Greg. I'm very optimistic. Even if that is a no, if no loses by a hair, that still says a lot.
Right. Now, did they put in, you know, was there a little injection of ballots into the system there to help it pass? Because what the key to vote fraud is knowing how many votes you need and then putting in just enough. You know, we're not Joseph Kennedy purportedly told his son John Kennedy on election night in 1960 when Kennedy won that election it was a very close election, won by vote fraud. She said, purportedly said to him, "I'm not paying for a landslide." And that's exactly, so you look at Arizona in 2020 and in Georgia in 2020, Wisconsin, and they, even though there were millions of votes cast in those three key states, Biden prevailed, quote unquote, by just a very slight margin, about 11,000 votes in Arizona and Georgia, and about 20,000 votes in Wisconsin. So do they put, and part of the problem is you don't know. We can't,
Greg,
we cannot, and we finish that point, then I will turn it back over to you. We cannot be confident in the integrity of our elections because they are so loosey-goosey. We're going to scatter ballots to the wind. One of our people in our group found ballots still in their envelopes, ready to vote, just strewn along the street. They mail these things out to the voter list that we know is bloated and inaccurate and out of date. And it's just ripe for fraud. And that's exactly how the Democrats want it. Go ahead.
Greg, you know, I obviously preaching to the choir here, right? But I've always said, and you know me over these years that I've been with you here, I just don't believe in just saying, hey, voter fraud, and then complaining about it, right? We need to do tangible things like put safeguards, get rid of mail-in ballots, do things incrementally, because that is what the Democrats did for so many years to open up this culture now of just having mail-in ballots floating around. Like, for example, I was an independent and I switched back to Republican so I could vote for Trump. I got two ballots, but I'm honest. I only returned one ballot. And, you know, this is the type of thing, but, you know, people flow, there's no, safeguards around it. But let me just tell you what a cause for optimism is that Democrats only really win these close races like Georgia. You had cited Georgia. You had cited Arizona. They were close. And what the Democrats do is they find out, okay, what do we need? We go manufacture the ballots. In the old days, they would have that hour after polling closes and then they get their precinct leaders to be in there filling out ballots to get, you know, get certain elections, especially local ones, over the hump for Democrats. Now, what we're looking at is actually an environment where Trump is the leading candidate. He is leading Biden, and Republicans are generally leading Democrats in this election because the culture is actually rejecting Democrats. So I don't know if you guys know, this may be a little insider baseball here, but there's a difference between all adult polls, registered voters, and likely voters. So it's different screens, right? All adults is usually a not a very accurate poll because it gets a lot of people that don't vote, right? Or people that have never registered to vote. But all adults really captures where the culture is at. And Trump is actually doing better in all adult polls than he is with the registered voter or likely voter polls right now, which is very interesting. It shows that the culture is rejecting the woke, is rejecting progressive ideas that have created this inflation, that this terrible environment. So the Democrats will have to win over margin of fraud. So I have to remember, you have to remember that. And Trump is polling outside margin of fraud in all these swing states, in all seven or eight battleground states.
Well, let's take a pause here and we'll resume our discussion on this. So we're going to turn more towards, okay, here's our situation. Now, what can we as the holders of the most important political office do to save our country? After this word from Ed Hoffman of United America Mortgage, the place to go for your real estate lending needs. Back after this.
Hi, this is Ed Hoffman with United America Mortgage and host of the main event right here on AM 590 The Answer. Mortgage rates are up, but credit card rates are way higher, and credit card balances have hit an all-time high as inflation puts the squeeze on everyone's budget, not to mention how auto loan rates and payments have gone through the roof. Let me point out, it doesn't matter how low your existing mortgage interest rate is if you can't make the payments on everything else. Are you wondering what to do? Do you need some financial strategy? Want to talk to someone who thinks like you? Call me at 855-640-2020. We'll discuss a strategy that works for you today and also considers what happens when the interest rates drop as we move into the inevitable recession. to have that discussion, call me toll-free at 855-640-2020. That's 855-640-2020, or go to edhoffman.net and click on the United American Mortgage logo.
Ed Hoffman, NMLS ID number 9921. United American Mortgage Corporation, NMLS ID number 1942. United American Mortgage Corporation is an equal housing lender and licensed by the California Department of Real Estate.
AM 590, The Answer.
Welcome back to Unite IE Radio, the radio show for the most important political office, that of the private citizen, followed closely by your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, and that would be me, Greg Britton. And we are certified to be the number one conservative talk show in our market, in our time slot, and I've worked very hard to achieve that status. Before we can resume our discussion, I wanted to remind everybody of a great upcoming event, and that is the Unite IE Conservative Summit. This is the 10th annual one coming up here. It'll be in Ontario on the Doubletree there on April 7th, and you can go to the website for this station, am590theanswer.com. Find the banner, click through that, and purchase your tickets. The great lineup of speakers, including Charlie Kirk, Brandon Tatum, Sebastian Gorka, economist Stephen Moore, Billy Asale, who is probably one of the few warriors for the Republicans up there in the state legislature, and many others. So this is going to be a really, really great event, and tickets are going quickly. So if you want good seats, the sooner you buy, the better. You've been talking about the last primary election here in California and looking and turning a little bit more national. And I think we agree that, for among other reasons, electing Donald Trump is necessary, although not sufficient, to save the country. Because otherwise, if there's a Democrat in the White House, doesn't matter who it is, the border will remain open, and they'll bring in another 10, 20 million illegals. If they control the Congress, they will amnesty in 30 to 40 million illegals and new Democrat voters, and the Democrats will have their one-party socialist state. But, so what can we do about it? We've been talking about vote fraud, and yes, that it certainly exists. The margin, we don't know. So, yes, in Georgia and Arizona, Biden won by 11,000 votes. But if they needed another 50,000 votes or 100,000 votes, could they have done it? And there, we don't know. And I've seen some people, I've seen, social media is not the real world. It's a special environment. People that are just really active and have time on their hands and are posting on social media. But you see some people that it's hopeless. They're going to rig the election, and not just with vote fraud, but with the media, with the deep state, through censorship in the social media platforms. It's all going to be rigged again like 2020. And there's other people that I think that are maybe overly optimistic. Well, Donald Trump has a good lead, is leading now, and therefore, look at the conditions in the country, inflation, the open border, the wars around the world, the situation in the whole world is much worse than it was under Donald Trump. I mean, and energy prices, all these kind of things, so we're going to win. And I think we need to always assume that we're behind. And as St. Augustine said, pray as though everything depended on God, and work as though everything depended on us. And we assume that they're going to cheat, and we just need to get every vote, and we need to get every Republican vote. Here's the thing, and I'm going to turn it back over to you, Mark, is there is absolutely no reason, with the country on the line, that 95% of Republicans cannot turn out and vote. That does not require more money. It does not require a better Republican Party. It does not require a better ground game. It does not require better strategy. Anything that lies entirely in the power of every Republican in California and the country to get out and vote, and even if you don't like him, if you don't like the Republican candidate, you're a MAGA Republican, and there's a moderate, call him a rhino if you want to, is the nominee, you have to vote for him or her. But conversely, if you're a more moderate establishment Republican, if you're a Mitt Romney Republican, is you have to suck it up equally, and if it's a MAGA Republican that has the nomination, need to vote for him or her. Your turn.
Yeah, you know, Greg, what you're talking about, I think, is actually coming into play, which is the enthusiasm gap. If you look at certain polls, the dramatic enthusiasm gap between Republicans and Democrats is certainly not something to ignore. Right now, we're looking at a very, very fired up base of Republicans. So you're asking for 95% turnout. I think that's going to happen. And that's actually what we needed because, you know, when times are good, Republicans get complacent. Let me give you an example. 2018, 2020, those were elections that if more Republicans had just shown up, especially in states like Arizona and Georgia, we wouldn't have this close election. But I think right now with the economy, if you look at a lot of the polls, including one I shared with you from CBS for Georgia, you can start seeing that the priorities for people voting this time around, and this is not just Republicans, but also Democrats and independents, is really the economy. When you batter the economy like Biden and the Democrats have, when you take out manufacturing from the Rust Belt, when you cause entire sectors of industry to shut down and lose their jobs, people who maybe have supported you because, oh, Biden's a nice guy, he's from Scranton, Pennsylvania, probably are like, wow, that was a really stupid vote that I made, and then having buyer's remorse. So we're starting to see a lot in a lot of these polls, a lot of former Biden voters are actually switching their votes to Trump this time around. That's why I'm optimistic, because I believe that the culture, we've given Biden 3 years, 3.5 years now to present what his vision of America looks like, and then most people don't like it. So that's where I stand on that.
I think that is our number one advantage. They've got all the institutions. They've got the mainstream media. They've got the deep state. They've got the big dem tech companies other than Twitter, now called X. So they have all these huge, they have huge amounts of money. And I think a lot of that money is recycled taxpayer dollars that they get. They have all these advantages. Our number one advantage, I believe, is that a large majority of people think the country's on the wrong track and they do not want four more years like the last three. So therein lies the tension. And can they scare enough all voters? Well, Donald Trump is this racist, fascist, rapist, all these things. And there's a fair chance that they'll get at least one of the cases. They'll get convictions against him. And how will that play? Times past, if a candidate had felony convictions during the election year, that would have been all over for him or her. But I think people are discounting that, and they recognize it as lawfare. And if you already hate Donald Trump, it's one more reason to hate him. But if you're a supporter and recognize that he's the only guy that's standing up for America, it's not going to affect your vote, but it'll probably affect some. So yeah, all these things. But I think that is our number one advantage, and we need to go into this. And there's going to be a whole series of ways that we'll be talking about on this show as well, in which even here in California, you'll be able to help Donald Trump in other states. The Tea Party Patriots National, in conjunction with Turning Point, will have an app for your phone that will let you contact voters. This is just one way. Let you contact voters in the key states by writing a postcard to them, by calling them, by texting them, to encourage them to vote, and they'll be targeted for the voters that are, you know, potentially swing voters. You're not going to be calling hardcore Democrats. And it's, as I said, a little while earlier, quoting St. Augustine, pray as though everything depended on God, and work as though everything depended on us. Final 30 seconds of this segment, Mark.
Yeah, to wrap up, yeah, let's really be aware of who our audience is, right? Because the party faithful are going to vote. Start convincing the people that are low propensity or just, you know, the Republicans, but they're not very involved in politics like we are, and start convincing them that you have to vote in every election and you have to care and you have to be involved in the process. So that's really the challenge here, not preaching to the choir.
Absolutely, but you also want to get the choir to sing. Stay tuned for the exciting second half of Unite, IE Radio.
AM 590, The Answer.
Welcome back to Unite IE Radio, the radio show for the most important political office, that of the private citizen. My name is Greg Britton, Redlands Tea Party Patriots and Unite IE Coalition of Conservative and Patriot Groups, where our mission is to unite freedom-loving, America-loving Americans and magnify our strength and effectiveness in making and keeping America great, free, and prosperous. And we see continually the need for people to step up and fulfill the obligations of that most important political office if we're going to keep the aforementioned great, free, and prosperous country. I'm very pleased to have on the show this week Mark Ang, who he exemplifies the motto of this show. And if we had another, 10,000, 20,000 of Americans who were doing as much as Mark Ang is doing for the cause, we could save our country. So always pleased to have him on the show. So welcome back. Welcome to the second half. You were talking in the first half about things we can be doing to help save the country. First and foremost is get all Republicans to vote. And I think that there is a problem on our side. I think there's a significant number, and I'm not sure how big that number is, whether it's 5%, 10%, 20% of Republicans who are, shall we say, Mitt Romney, George Bush Republicans. And
I think that's a very tiny minority. Thanks for bringing that up. Nikki Haley's candidacy was all based on what is a lot of smoke screens. Of course, there are people just like in any bell curve that may not like Trump and would like to vote for an alternative. But that doesn't mean they're not going to come back home and support the nominee. And actually, we saw that in a lot of these polls, that there was one poll by New York Times Siena that I really liked that actually asked all members of the Republican Party and members of the Democratic Party if they were angry, who was angry that the nominee was going to be Trump and Biden, respectively. And only 9% of the Republican base is unhappy with Trump as a nominee. So at the end of the day, Nikki Haley's trying to grift. I think she's just trying to get a job with CNN or MSNBC, because she's effectively being that, like, I'm the Republican that talks crap about other Republicans because I'm trying to boost my own fame. That's really what's coming down there. And people see through that. And I think she's going to fizzle out. I mean, she'll make some money when the liberals pay her. But, you know, who watches CNN or MSNBC anyways, right, except a rabid leftist? So at the end of the day, she's inconsequential. But what's consequential, Greg, is that we start talking about issues that are outside of politics and relate to the average person. I think Republicans, a lot of times, especially, you know, even on this show and even on in the activist circles, want to just talk about politics. But let's really talk about the issues that are affecting people. I mean, gosh, the Democrats, the last 3-4 years have given us a treasure trove of gifts, from the pushing of trans, agenda to the crime, to the, you know, basically ACAB, all cops are bad. And then, you know, basically crime and law and order has gone down the drain. And then this immigration issue, obviously, especially with border states like Texas, California, Arizona. I mean, God, these things are the issues we need to be talking about to connect to these independent and democratic voters that are conservative in their values and ideology, that don't understand that the Democrats are not representing what they believe in.
Sure. I think there's the, particularly in California, but even nationally, is the Democrat Party politicians and the party itself is far to the left of where most of their voters are now. It's hard to say, but I think you're right. You always want to find and focus on the issues where they favor you. And there was one of the people with Tea Party Patriots nationally says that what's being said is not as important as what's being discussed. So if we're talking about the open border and mass illegal immigration, we're talking about inflation, if we're talking about the government setting up a vast censorship industrial complex, and that's a little bit of a sub issue, but I think that is important and could bring some people that might otherwise lean Democrat over to our side. And so I think you're absolutely right on that. Energy prices. Now, the issue that's not going to get discussed very much because no one wants to do anything about it is the unsustainable debt and deficit. But leave that aside for the moment. When you go to people and say, for example, that since January of 2021, just things like flour up 37%. Eggs up 35%, baby food and formula up 27%, bread up 25%, and so on. Home heating oil up 61%, diesel up 55%, gasoline up 37%, and so on. And you can go down this list. Well, at the same time, real disposable income is down 7.5%. Homeownership affordability is down 36%. And people are feeling this. They're feeling this. So when you focus the discussion on those things, I think you are absolutely, absolutely right.
Those statistics are staggering, Greg. I mean, let's take a moment to absorb just how bad the inflation is. It's not what the national amount is. It's actually on specific items, right? Or specific like groupings of items that are needed for day to day. You know, things like baby formula, things like eggs. I mean, it's crazy. It's, one thing. But another thing I wanted to bring up, which is not often talked about besides the obvious, like what's affecting us in our daily lives, is everyone's collective fatigue with politicians. And this is why Trump is really the best nominee for the Republican Party, because he's essentially like an independent candidate, to the point that we do have an independent candidate, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., running, and his presence only draws away from Democrats. And Trump's independent brand is so strong that he's holding the Republican base together and getting a lion's share of independents. And that needs to be talked about, how sleazy all these politicians are. Let's look at Biden and his incompetence and his corruption with his son, and Kamala with her condescension as if we're all first graders, the way she explains things to us. And then we have, Adam Schiff and a lot of these, career politicians that just go after Trump like this witch hunt. These things are endearing people to Trump. His favorabilities are the best of any presidential candidate right now. Well, there's two, but, you know, compared to Biden. Biden is much more hated than Trump. So we're looking at something even worse than the Trump versus Hillary in 2016 for the Democrats. Is their nominee is hated more than Hillary was. Hillary's even a better candidate to put up right now than Biden is, because Biden's got a record, and also the smear, the taint, the stench of career politician corruption. And that's one of the things that's endearing people to a renegade like Trump. So I'm super excited to see how this election is going to play out. I'm very optimistic.
I do not share your assessment of very optimistic, and it's a balance between, it's hopeless. We can't win. I've seen people writing along those lines, and, you know, sometimes our fellow patriots get down and go, they see the Democrat Party machine in motion everywhere, well funded, fighting on every front. And we have a lot of Vichy French Republicans, as I call them, versus, I think, undue optimism. My view of it is always assume we're 3 to 5 points behind.
Of course, that goes
good. We're 3 to 5 points behind, and the country's on the line, and then work accordingly and act accordingly. And if it turns out that you're right and we win easily, wonderful. But now I would never assume that, especially given the nature of our opposition, who will do anything and everything and are not bound by law or morality in what they do to win and hold power. And what events will come up? Will they start a war someplace? Will there be major terrorist attacks in the U.S.? That could happen anytime. We could have 9/11 style attacks across the country anytime because they've let Hamas, Hezbollah, the Iranian Revolutionary Guards, Chinese Special Forces, and probably other groups in other nations pre-position people in our country. All those groups and nations would be stupid not to take advantage of the open border. And while they may be evil, none of those groups and nations are stupid. So that could happen. So also, what events will happen? We don't know. But I believe the people in power, the Democrat Party, and the deep state, but then I repeat myself, will not voluntarily relinquish power. It will only be if they have no choice. Let me finish and I'll turn it back over to you. Only if we can win by enough and they have no choice but to accept our victory, will they only temporarily stand aside. Then they'll go back like they did in 2017 to do everything they possibly can to hinder, undermine, and obstruct Donald Trump and us in exercising and governing the country. Let's hope we get to that point. Your turn, and then we'll go take a commercial break.
That in itself, Greg, is the you know, when you said that they want to hang on to power, the Democrats will do anything to hang on to power. That is their Achilles heel. Look at Dianne Feinstein. She couldn't just hand over the seat or groom a successor and then retire in her final years with her grandchildren and just, you know, do what most normal people would do, right? They want to hang on power till the day they die. That is the nature of Democrats and people that believe that government is God, that the state is a deity, right? So, that is also the root of what we saw with the Schiff Porter Senate, race. Here in California, you had two factions of the Democratic Party basically try to fight each other for power. And, you know, they're eating each other alive. Meanwhile, we have a united Republican Party behind Steve Garvey because we know that we've been out of power for such a long time that we don't have to focus on petty arguments. Let's unite. And that is part of the dynamics that happens when people are too long in power. Republican states have the same dynamic where the Republicans have been in power for so long, they fight amongst each other, allowing Democrats to get in. A great example is Alaska. They have a Democratic House representative now for the at-large for the entire state of Alaska because Republicans are fighting each other. So this is the type of thing that, you know, I think a lot of it, yes, of course, Greg, let's work hard. Let's make those phone calls. Let's get people fired up to volunteer. But a lot of things are also beyond our control as activists. I learned that as an activist, that we need to work smart and not necessarily pound our heads on the pavement. We need to be strategic in the way we move forward and go to places where we can make an impact and move the needle, not just preach to the choir. So I think that we have a really great opportunity with so much at our disposal, and we have a wave that is pulling us forward. It sucks that in 2022, the results and the election were not as favorable to Republicans as we thought. But sometimes you have to take, it takes people not the 2-year mark to wake up to the bad policies of the party in power, but in the 4-year mark. And I think that's why we're in a very good position. But like, yes, I agree with you tempering my optimism, but there's a lot of good indicators that the culture is shifting to our direction, shifting towards objectivity. Look at recently, Leah Thomas got stripped off her, you know, his medals and going to the rightful female winner of the tournaments and the competitions. So, you know, these things take some time to correct itself because the Democrats have gone so crazy, so left, and so far off the mainstream.
Let's take a pause here and hear from our sponsors for the second half of Unite IE Radio. First would be some guy named Attorney Gregory W. Britton. does business in real property law, and you can reach him at 909-335-7335 of SecureServe, and that's a service, and that is spelled S-E-R-V, no E-E, 44.com, SecureServe without the second E.com. If you have process serving needs, and sometimes they're difficult in defining people, and Kenny White, who runs that company, will take care of that. And let's hear again from Ed Hoffman of Unite America Mortgage. Back after this.
Hi, this is Ed Hoffman with Unite America Mortgage and host of the main event right here on AM 590 The Answer. Mortgage rates are up, but credit card rates are way higher. And credit card balances have hit an all-time high as inflation puts the squeeze on everyone's budget. Not to mention how auto loan rates and payments have gone through the roof. Let me point out, it doesn't matter how low your existing mortgage interest rate is if you can't make the payments on everything else. Are you wondering what to do? Do you need some financial strategy? Want to talk to someone who thinks like you? Call me at 855-640-2020. We'll discuss a strategy that works for you today and also considers what happens when the interest rates drop as we move into the inevitable recession. To have that discussion, call me toll-free at 855-640-2020. That's 855-640-2020, or go to edhoffman.net and click on the United American Mortgage logo.
Ed Hoffman, NMLS ID number 9921, United American Mortgage Corporation, NMLS ID number 1942. United American Mortgage Corporation is an equal housing lender and licensed by the California Department of Real Estate.
AM 590, The Answer.
Welcome back to Unite IE Radio, the radio show for the most important political office, that of the private citizen. My name is Greg Britton with the Residency Party Patriots and the Unite IE Coalition of Conservative and Patriot Groups. And you can connect with the Residency Party Patriots, by the way, at our, probably the best place and most active place is our Facebook page, Residency Party Patriots. And we meet at that Mill Creek Cattle Company, a great place for dinner on the first Thursday of each month at 7 p.m. And our meetings are free and open to the public. And we think we provide, people have a good time and they are well informed by our speakers. What you were saying before, and I want to just echo the importance of it, you said before the break, and that is as activists, as citizens, we should focus on the things where we can make an impact and we can do something about. Yes, we should be concerned about the war and things happening in the Middle East, but there really is not a lot that we can do about it other than help Donald Trump get back into the White House, because the world was a lot better shape when Donald Trump was president than he is now. And pick the races. So there are some races, for example, locally here. Congressman Jay Albernoti won the primary with more than 60% of the vote, and He has one of the safest congressional seats for a Republican in California. He doesn't need our help. I mean, he's run his campaign, but he doesn't need our help. One of the more endangered races is Ken Calvert, who his new district includes Palm Springs, which is a heavily Democrat area, and he can use our help. So there's just locally, here's an example of how we can direct our efforts. Another way something we can do about, and we've talked about this transgender, this seemingly insane, but it's actually evil, and the people behind it understand what they're doing. Some of the crazies that you see out in the streets are certifiably insane, but the motive behind it is evil. But there's an initiative circulating in California, Protect Kids, and you can get the petition at protectkidsca.com. Download it, fill it out, sign it, send it back in, and this will do three things. It'll require schools notify parents when the child is confused, deliberately so, and wants to identify as the opposite gender. It means girls only, XX chromosome girls in girls' sports and girls' facilities such as restrooms and locker rooms, and no chemical or surgical castration and mutilation of children or minors in this transgender by the transgender industrial complex until they're at least 18. Three things that poll in the 70% range here in California. Get on the ballot, it should win, but they don't have the money for it. So here's one thing we can all do. If you haven't done it, go to protectkidsca.com, download the petition, sign it, fill it out per the instructions, and mail it back in. And if you can get some more signatures, your friends, neighbors, coworkers, so much the better. But even if it's just you, or just you and your spouse, or do it. Here's just an easy thing to do to advance our cause. I'm sure you've already signed, Mark.
Yes, of course I support that initiative. I think, these type of things that we do, even if they don't, they're not successful right away, we need to keep pounding the beat of the drum over multiple election cycles. And, you know, let's really connect things to where people are at these days. Most people are at their phones, and you have a lot of people consuming pop culture, right? Let's look at Ellen Page, who is now a man. She thinks, whatever. I find it very funny, but there's a lot of groups that, you know, mention her a lot because now, really mutilated her own body to be what is on the 0.001 percentile of height for men. Because now this very beautiful actress, beautiful girl is now a distorted, sad figure who's trying to convince people that she's happy, which this lie that the left pulls, like certain things like, you know, oh, give up your family. If you give up raising children to go after your career, so you become a slave to corporate interests. I mean, these hypocrisies of the left need to be called out. And also, especially who I'm shocked that it's only 70% support for parental notification on transgender. I mean, it's amazing. You got 30% of parents that are okay with their kids mutilating themselves before the age of 18. I mean, it's asinine, right? But thank goodness we still have 2/3 majority of people in the sanity bucket here.
Yes. We're a little short on time. What I wanted to get to in this segment, so we'll spend our last 2.5 minutes on this, is the political consulting firm of Ang and Britton are going to lay out the strategy for how Steve Garvey could win. He's not going to have a lot of money. Now, if the polls show he gets closer to Schiff, then some more money may come in. So he's got to use his own resources and ingenuity. So one of the things, and he's got to pick his issues. The first and foremost, in my judgment, would be the open borders and unlimited immigration. And now that Texas has done more to secure its borders itself, the flow of illegals is now coming much more towards Arizona and California. So we're going to be seeing more of it here in California. So if I were him, I would go down to the border and I would do live broadcasts at the border showing them coming across. I would find that the transgender issue we just talked about, the polling on that, that's another one that I would pick. And third issue is, I've not heard anyone else yet talk about it, but I would, and that's SB 770, which is a Democrat Party scheme to take Medicare benefits from Californians and throw all of our seniors into a state-run medical insurance program with the illegal aliens. And I would hammer them on that and say, no way, no how, we're going to protect the Medicare benefits of our citizens. And maybe you find a couple of things. You know, the energy prices, they're just the Air Resources Board is just about to impose another 50 cent increase in gas prices here in California. So find 3, 4, 5 issues and just talk about those and go around the state. Take your bus, take your car, and do these live broadcasts out in the homeless area. Or where there's a whole bunch of glitter, or there's not enough water, or whatever it is, do these broadcasts, draw, and you can still make your own commercials out of this. And
Greg, I would go a completely different direction on this. To be honest, if I were him, like, yeah, these positions you can state on your website or, you know, lightly talk about it. But I think he needs to just remind everyone of the baseball legend he was and then just go out there and shake a lot of hands, especially in Hispanic and Black areas. I think it's a PR game at this point. Everyone knows what a Republican stands for in California for the most part, and just focus on PR and get out there and make news and shake hands.
And there you have it. Like free legal advice, free political advice is worth every penny you pay for it. Thanks much for being on our show this week, Mark, and everything you're doing for the cause. And as always, tune in next week for another exciting edition of Unite, IE Radio.
You rock, Greg.
AM 590, The Answer.